Aye. Supervisor Neal.
Madam Chair, since item 25 and 26 is similar, can we take 25 and 26 together if there's no objection?
Is there any objection to taking 25 and 26 together?
I'll move approval.
Seeing none, I do have a motion for approval by Supervisor Mayo.
For 25 and 26, yes.
For 25 and 26. All right. Any comments or questions on 25 or 26? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to approve item numbers 25 and 26 is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Stein.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging in there all day for
nice 5 minutes. Simple, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We could have got that done.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we remember this next year?
Yes.
Hold on. We didn't look for the record.
I won't be here.
I'm stuck.
Item number 27 from Disability Services Division.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to enter into 2013 Disability Services Division Purchase of Service Contracts for the Disability Resource Center Children's Programs and Adults with Disabilities.
All right. And Ms. Lyday, of course, we have to congratulate you on ending the waiting list. It was very exciting. It was a wonderful event. I really liked the keynote speaker.
Good.
On Friday. And again, my colleagues, Supervisor Stamper and Bowen, and Mayo and myself were present at that event. Mm-hmm. This is very wonderful. So congratulations and my hat's off to you.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 27.
I also quickly want to thank Jerry and Mark, who's here as well. I mean, staff worked so hard. They increased their workloads, worked overtime, reprioritized their duties to eliminate the wait list, and that is something that we all consider extraordinary, being able to provide services to people very quickly now and not having to be on a wait list. So it's an extraordinary thing that was accomplished, and I want to thank Jerry and her team for the leadership in getting that done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And Jerry, give an overview on the report.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is our 2013 contract recommendations for the Disability Services Division. And as indicated in the report, we kind of have three areas, our resource center, as well as our children's programs. And then we also have a couple of new initiatives. And I'd just like to highlight a couple of areas in the report. One is our children's programs. We operate birth to three programs, which are programs that provide services to children who have been identified with a developmental delay early in life. And we work with a number of agencies that provide services and partner with us in the community. We are recommending six-month contracts for those agencies, not because of anything they've done, but we've been working in the last year to try and get everybody reporting in the same way. We've had extensive meetings with them, and we identified that everybody kind of reports their additional revenue that they generate through fundraising activities. They have some Title 19 revenue, and everyone is reporting that in a different way. We are trying to move our system to more of a contract-based, performance-based system. And in order to do that, we need to make sure everyone is reporting in the same way so that we're comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges among those agencies. We've met with them this year, and we've agreed that we're going to change the way they're reporting so that we are actually collecting data in the same way. Therefore, we're recommending six-month contracts to move everybody to reporting in the same way in 2013 so that we'll be able to compare the same data. And we were also very fortunate in the budget to have about $150,000 of new revenue that we're going to allocate to them, but we want to make sure that we're allocating it to those agencies where we are getting a very good rate and we know that they're reporting in the same way before we make that allocation. So we will be changing the way they report. They will start that in January. We will have data then that will be reported for at least the first quarter of the year in the same way, and then we will come back to this committee to allocate the new funds for 2013 and the balance of their contracts for the balance of the year. So I wanted to highlight that because they are only at this point being recommended for six-month contracts. The other areas that I'd like to just go over quickly, we basically are awarding the same contracts as we had in 2012 to many of the same providers. And as we've gone through this huge systems change, we have eliminated our waiting list. We have moved individuals who were in those contracts into family care. We now have contracts that really reflect those services of persons who are not family care eligible. And we have some contracts that we are no longer going to be pursuing because all of the individuals that were in there were able to be transitioned to family care. We do have a couple of new areas that we're looking at, and one is the continuation of our crisis respite home. If you will remember, we actually went out on an RFP. We came back with that. We allocated it for a couple months. We now are extending that contract with them for a three-year cycle with a one-year renewal. So we're excited about the expansion of four beds. We had four. We added another four. We now have eight. And that also is going to be part of the mental health redesign. It's really geared toward assisting individuals who might be relocating from Hilltop, who might need some temporary services, and as opposed to going back to BHD, this will be an alternative. We now have that facility accessible, and we have two four-bed facilities. And the last I heard, we have one of them already is filled for a couple of individuals that were residing at BHD, so I think that's pretty exciting. The other area, two areas I want to mention that are new for us is the Milwaukee Area Time Exchange. And that's a new program that really focuses on individuals who can purchase time for their talents. That's kind of what I call it. So if you have something, say you wanted somebody to mow your lawn for 4 hours, you could look through the time exchange bank. Someone could mow your lawn for 4 hours, and then you could give 4 hours of your time to do something. Actually, I told Hector he's going to give us 4 hours of boxing lessons. But it brings individuals with disabilities together with other individuals. They're able to give things, and they're able to look through the bank and receive services. So it's been, it's quite a unique program, but it's a way to really focus on a lot of the informal supports, and people don't realize the kinds of things you could get. A lot of folks love to walk dogs. You can get a variety of services. Some people knit. Some people need grocery shopping. Some people just like to have friends come over and spend some time. So for a small amount of money, I think we're going to really make good connections for individuals with disabilities and people giving their time, and then you bank your number of hours that you have. So maybe you don't have something that you utilize this time, but you bank those 4 hours, and at another time you're able to utilize the time exchange. So I just think that's a really a neat concept. The other area is Best Buddies. And Best Buddies is an intentional connection for individuals. It's a statewide program that connects students at Marquette and the university with individuals with disabilities to connect with them and do things. And sometimes that's like a couple hours a month. Sometimes that's an hour a week. But they become what they call Best Buddies. And it's based on kind of a national concept of connecting individuals. And so often we hear from families who have kids with disabilities. They have siblings, and a lot of times their siblings don't want to participate with other individuals because they can't do the same kinds of activities because of their disability. This really gives them kind of a meaningful relationship, and the students actually really love it. They've incorporated it as part of their curriculum, and so they're able now to get a few credits for that. So this is a new area that we're expanding to our purchase-a-service concept, and we actually think it's kind of neat as well. The other area I'd like to point out is it's called DSD System Redesign Analysis Project. As I mentioned, our system has gone through kind of a substantial paradigm shift over the last 5 years. We were a division that provided what they call waivers for many individuals, and we moved to transferring all of those individuals to family care. We created a resource center, and we now are the disability resource center for this community. We've eliminated our waiting list, but we really want to look at our system where we've got gaps in services, where we need to look at, you know, what those services are that family care provides, but what are the services that other individuals in this community with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities need. So we have identified kind of a system analysis project that we are recommending to partner with the Public Policy Forum, in which they would provide some focus groups, perhaps bring in a national consultant to look at our system and look at other communities that are focusing on individuals with intellectual disabilities. And the Public Policy Forum will really act as the fiscal agent, and we will identify a consultant that will be paid through the funds that will go through the Public Policy Forum to actually conduct this study for us. It's pretty exciting in that we've not really taken, as Stephanie just undertook, a huge planning effort to look at the faces of aging and what were the trends for older people and, you know, what was going to be, what were they going to need and the services in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. I think this is really something similar because for many years, in the folks with intellectual disabilities, Milwaukee County was the only place that they came to receive services. We were kind of like the only game in town. But we, of course, didn't have enough funds. We had a waiting list that extended over the last 35 years. Now that we've done that, we really need to look at our service system and see how can we best serve individuals in this community, because everyone who has an intellectual disability is not eligible for family care. There are still other individuals, parents who have adults and children with disabilities who need services, so we want to make sure that we're being responsive, that we're utilizing our dollars in the best way, and that we're focusing them on the services that are really going to make a difference to families and kids with disabilities, as well as to adults who don't and will not necessarily be eligible for family care. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. The last area that we actually is about a year old, but it's new to the division, is the Interim Disability Assistance Program. It's called IDAP. And this is a program that we partner with community advocates. It actually had been operated by the Economic Support Division, and it provides some temporary assistance to individuals who are applying for SSI and they're waiting for a disability determination. And in almost 80% of the cases when individuals first apply for SSI or Social Security disability, they're denied. And many of them do not have any benefits or anything pending the determination to receive certification for SSI. This provides a little bit of assistance while they do that, and then they do work with attorneys at community advocates to help them appeal those decisions, move to get their benefits. Once they get their benefits, then those funds that the county has paid out come back to the county, and we're able then, you know, to continue to use them. The numbers have gone up over time of the individuals who need this service, and we've also noticed that there's been a reduction in the retroactive payments that Social Security has been paying. But it really provides a short-term stopgap support to individuals who have nothing else, pending they're waiting for Social Security disability or SSI. Our division has assumed responsibility for this program. This actually is our second year, and we're continuing to recommend that we fund that. It actually works very nicely with our disability benefits specialists who we have in our resource center who help people navigate the system as they need benefits. They might need food share. They might also, again, be waiting for their SSI or Social Security. They might need a review. It becomes a very confusing process at times, many times, when you're trying to get benefits and knowing what you need to do, when you need to do it. So I think this is really, has been for a small amount of money, a real vital program to individuals waiting on their SSI or Social Security disability. With that, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Ms. Lyday, for giving us this helpful information around a new initiative. The one, and I think they're all exciting programs, particularly for people with disabilities, and you provided us with a lot of good information. But I'm just curious about the time banking one. Are there tracking devices that will allow for safety? So, for example, as you were talking about, you know, people buying banking time to do whatever services that they may have to help another person in this community, how are we making sure that people are safe while they're receiving these types of services?
They do a criminal background check, and they do a basic screen on individuals that are participating with the bank. And part of this position we'll fund will actually do a visit if they're going to be doing things in their home. So there's a caregiver and a criminal background check, and there's some preliminary information that we do before the matching actually occurs between the individual looking for the service and the individual that will actually be providing service. So they do have some baseline criteria upon which they check to make sure that there aren't anything, you know, really alarming or any red flags that go out. So there is a basic screening process attached to this.
Thank you. And so that means that you are keeping track of the individuals who are a part of the program. You know who they are, where they live, how
yes,
they get in hold of those people.
Yes, part of the responsibility of the bank is to know that who's active, where they are. So they have a complete listing of all the individuals that participate in the Time Exchange Bank.
Okay. Like I said, I think it's a very exciting program. That was just a little curiosity on my
end. I think that's a very good question.
Yeah. So
you have to be concerned when you kind of put strangers together, particularly one that's a little bit more vulnerable than the other, to make sure that you do have a safe match there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The IDEP program, I want to say thank you for taking it over, but remember, Milwaukee County supervisors, twice the county execs, prior to this one, was trying to get rid of that program. And we continue to fund that because it was the gap fund between Social Security and the person who has something with it. So I want to thank you for continuing to do that. I'd like to move approval.
And it's valuable. It's a valuable program. Thank you.
And you will be back for 6 months. With the six-month program instead
for the birth to three agencies,
correct.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Any other comments or questions from supervisors? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Seven ayes, zero noes. The motion is approved.